This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Here are your closing prices from the Chicago Board of Trade. March corn was $4.12, down 5. May corn, $4.20 and a quarter, down 5. July corn, $4.27 and 3 quarters, down 4 and 3 quarters. January soybeans were $12.96 and a quarter, down 4 and a half. March soybeans, $12.73 and 3 quarters, up 4 and a half. May soybeans, $12.55, up 4 and a half. March wheat was $5.84 and a quarter, down 4 and a half. May wheat, $5.89 and a half, down 5. July wheat, $5.94 and a quarter, down 4 and a quarter. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. I'm Bob Reese, and this is Thursday's report of the grain prices and trends prepared by the USDA and the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were mixed on Thursday afternoon. Wheat and corn posted new contract lows as traders wait for tomorrow's USDA report. Soybeans found positive news in exports, which kept them out of the negative territory. In the northern and western part of the state, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 4 to 5 cents lower at $3.85 to $4.08. Soybean bids were 4 to 5 cents higher at $12.52 to $12.76. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 5 to 9 cents lower at $3.85 to $4.11. And soybean bids were 1 to 8 cents higher at $12.72 to $13.04. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were mixed at $3.90 to $4.10, and soybean bids were 5 cents higher at $12.80 to $13.30. Wheat bids were mixed at $5.79 to $6.12. Now from the Illinois Soybean Processors Cash Soybean Bids, they were 5 to 9 cents higher at $12.79 to $13.09. with the basis steady to 5 higher at 5 to 35 over the March. High Pro soybean meal on a truck basis was offered at $4.54.30 to $4.59.30 a ton, with the basis steady to 5 cents lower at 40 to 45 over the March. Illinois corn processors cash corn bids were 5 to 15 cents lower at $4.12 to $4.27, with the basis steady to 10 cents lower at option to 15 over the March. Illinois River Barge Loading Elevators quoted their producer corn bids 2 to 8 cents lower at $3.97 to $4.11, with the basis mixed at 1 to 15 under the March. Soybeans ended mixed at $12.94 to $13.14, with the basis steady to 17 cents lower at 20 to 40 over the March. New crop wheat prices were down 4 cents at $5.69 to $5.77, and the basis steady at 17 to 25 under the July. East St. Louis Barge Loading Terminal Elevators placed their producer corn bids 3 to 5 cents lower at $4.27 to $4.32, and these elevators raised their soybean prices 5 to 9 cents, with quotations at $13.42 to $13.44. Soft wheat closed 3 to 4 cents lower at $6.16 to $6.20, and Milo ended the day steady to 5 cents lower at $4.61 to $4.62. Now on to contract bids to producers for new crop delivery. In the northern and western part of the state, corn ranged from $3.96 to $4.11, and soybeans $10.50 to $10.80. In the central part of the state, corn was $4.01 to $4.16, and soybeans $10.64 to $10.84. In the southern part of the state, corn went from $3.99 to $4.21, and soybeans were $10.66 to $11. Soft wheat ended at $5.50 to $5.64. That concludes our report. I'm Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your closing prices on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. February live cattle were $136.55, up 2. April live cattle, $136.87, down 10 cents. June live cattle, $130.12, up 17 cents. January feeder cattle were 169.15, up 67 cents. March feeder cattle were 168.82, up 27 cents. April feeder cattle, 169.62, up 45 cents. February lean hogs were 85.25, down 32 cents. April lean hogs, 90.72, down 37 cents. May lean hogs, 98.47, down 37 cents. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture with Thursday the 9th's afternoon livestock report. Starting with the Eastern Corn Belt Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $1.36 higher at $75 to $79.50, with the weighted average carcass price of $77.46. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows were trading steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 56 to 62, 4 to 5 weights 58 to 67, 5 to 550 weights 62 to 68, and 550 and up 65 to 70. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were trading steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging in price from $52 up to $57. Receipts for Illinois hogs today totaled 13,214. And now from the Greenville Livestock Auction, severe weather storm hazard and road conditions led to a small offering. They only had receipts of 101 head, and starting with the choice slaughter steers, they were bringing 131 to 135. Choice slaughter heifers were bringing 132 to 136.50. Now on to the real livestock auction in Congerville. They had receipts of 156 head, and slaughter steers were bringing 136.50 to 140, and select and choice steers were bringing 130.50 up to 134.50. Choice slaughter heifers were 136 to 138, and select and choice heifers were 130.50 to 132.50. Now, in the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis traded at 138 and on a dress basis 220 to 221. Heifers on a live basis traded at 134 to 139 and on a dress basis 220. From the National Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 349 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $83.57, and that was 64 cents higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading higher. Choice carcasses were 212.05, and that was $1.92 higher, with select carcasses at 209.05. And that was $1.98 higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 117,000. That compared to 121,000 last week and 126,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 429,000. That compared to 432,000 last week and 429,000 a year ago. Now for the weekly report from Reels Hay Auction. They had receipts of 1,137 bales. Starting with the alfalfa premium quality, it was $5.25 to $7 a bale. The large rounds, good quality, were $67.50. Orchard grass, premium quality small squares, $5.25 to $7.50 a bale. Large rounds, good quality, were $32.50. Alfalfa mixed grass, premium quality small squares, were $7.25 a bale. And wheat straw, good quality small squares, were $3.10 to $4 a bale. That concludes our report. I'm Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your cash grain bids from Hog Inc. January corn delivered to Greenfield, $4.07. February corn delivered to Greenfield, $4.09. January corn delivered to Scottville, $3.96. February corn delivered to Scottville, $4. January beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville, $13.13. February beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville, $13.03. January wheat delivered to Scottville, $5.88. Once again, those prices are: corn at Greenfield is $4.07, corn at Scottville is $3.96, beans at Greenfield or Scottville are $13.13, and wheat at Scottville is $5.88. Some in the food industry that have been fighting state efforts to mandate labels for genetically modified organisms are now pushing for a federal GMO law. The Grocery Manufacturers Association wants an industry-friendly law with a voluntary federal standard. Those supporting the idea say they are trying to find a national solution for labeling, rather than having to navigate various state laws for every packaged food item on the grocery shelf. Politico obtained an early discussion draft of the GMA's proposed bill. It says labeling standards would not be mandatory, and the industry would submit to Food and Drug Administration oversight. GMA head of government officials Louis Finkel says that they believe it's important for Congress to engage and provide FDA with the ability to have a national standard on GMO food labeling. Finkel adds that a 50-state patchwork of regulations is irresponsible. Finkel says GMA has fought mandatory labeling at the state level because the group believes a mandatory label misinforms consumers by implying there's something wrong with the product. Scott Faber with the Environmental Working Group says a better course would be for the industry to come to the table and work with consumers to gain the disclosure of more information on the products. Oregon Representative Peter DeFazio and California Senator Barbara Boxer both introduced bills in Congress that seek the mandatory labeling of GMO foods nationwide. DeFazio has said he has considerable concerns with GMA's discussion draft and warned the food industry could hurt its consumer image and bottom line if it moves ahead with the measure. But GMA isn't alone on the promotion of this idea. The coalition behind the effort includes, among others, the Snack Food Association, the American Frozen Food Institute, and the American Bakers Association. Weed resistance is quickly becoming one of the biggest threats to agriculture. MANA Technical Development Manager James Whitehead says weed resistance has grown over time.
In my career, we've gone full circle from where we use soil residual herbicides to using exclusively glyphosate products, all the way today where that we have widespread weed resistance in the marketplace, and it's really the number one threat probably to cotton growers today. And as a result, we've had to go back to some of those old tried and proven technologies we used in the past in order to produce a cotton crop efficiently and profitably.
Whitehead says glyphosate is still a very effective herbicide. However, he says it was used for so many years and growers relied on it exclusively that over time they selected out weed populations that were resistant and could break down the glyphosate so that it didn't work on those weed species anymore.
Typically, it started out as just a few plants and expanded over time to more and more plants in a growing area, in a field. And it has spread. Really, it started out as far as the number one weed, Palmer pigweed, over in the southeast, spread across to the mid-south, is moving more into Texas and New Mexico in today's world.
Palmer amaranth is a driver weed, Whitehead says. So if growers don't control it in the field, the other weeds don't matter because growers won't pick a large percentage of that field. However, he says there are other glyphosate-resistant populations, such as water hemp. Whitehead says growers can't sit back and do nothing about this resistance. He says growers have to revert back to some integrated weed management techniques, such as starting clean and staying clean throughout the season.
We should have had good crop rotation, which we did in some areas. We probably should have continued to include some mechanical incorporation, multiple modes of action of herbicides, and then just good management techniques for weeds. For example, Palmer pigweed. So we need to get back to some of the techniques that worked prior to glyphosate resistance. For example, we grew cotton for how many years in the U.S. before we had Roundup Ready cotton in the marketplace? Many, many years. So we can grow cotton effectively even in resistant weed era.
According to Whitehead, residuals are a mainstay of controlling resistant populations.
You start out early, starting clean with a good burn down pre-plant program, then a pre-emergence, early post-emergence, late post-emergence, and a lay-by application. And there are products where you can go even over the top as some of these post-emergence applications.
Ultimately, Whitehead says residuals are another arrow in the grower's quiver. Members of the Department of Animal Sciences at the University of Illinois will address the Food and Drug Administration's decision on antibiotics use in food animals in an upcoming webinar. FDA recently announced important steps to ensure the judicious use of antibiotics in food animals as one approach to addressing antimicrobial resistance in human medicine. The webinar will clarify what the ruling means for livestock producers and other industry professionals. The discussion will cover what the new steps mean, what they don't mean, and how producers and others should respond. Professor Emeritus James Pettigrew and Professor Hans Stein will present the webinar. To register for the free webinar, visit go.illinois.edu/antibiotics. For the farmers out there who are on Twitter, you may have noticed the Felfy trend. Farmers have been posting pictures of themselves, or selfies, with their favorite farm critters, posting them to the social media site, and dubbing them Felfies. The Pope was even circled in with the Felfy trend after a picture was put up of the religious leader holding a lamb on his shoulders. Selfy was named the word of the year by the Oxford Dictionary, and now farmers have thrown in their own flair for fun. If you're on Twitter, you can check out this new trend by searching Felfy, or if you're not on Twitter but still want to enjoy the pictures, you can go to farmingselfie.com. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.